Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hey, I love flags. Who here loves flags? My daughter is just takes my breath away every time she just worships Jesus with the flags. But did you know that Jesus actually has a flag over you? Song of Solomon 2, chapter 4. It says, his banner over you is love. And you know, as Pastor Cherie was just talking about flags, I looked over at the congregation. I just saw this great big banner just covering this whole auditorium, and it was just love. You know, one of the names of God is Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord our banner, the Lord our flag. Hey, isn't that awesome? I just love that. Hey, who's ready for the word tonight? Who's ready for the word tonight? Yeah. Yes, so am I. Hey, I am so blessed to visit some of our locations. And can I just say, I am just blown away with what God is doing right across Pneuma Church. So the last few weeks, this morning I was at West in the western suburbs at Pneuma West, and honestly, Pastor Dave and Sonia are doing an incredible job there. There's just such health and vitality and the presence of God in their location. Last week I was at Melbourne South with Stephen Candace, Pastor Stephen Candace. They are amazing, incredible couple. The week before that we were in Perth, seeing what God's doing over there, and then in Adelaide. So I'm just so blessed to visit our incredible location. You guys, we're a part of a global family. We're a part of what God is doing right across Australia. It's absolutely amazing, and there's more to come. There's more churches that are going to be planted. So I'm super excited about that. So aren't you? That, you know, church is just not, it is much more bigger than just here. God is doing some incredible things all across our nation. So it is just such a blessing to be a part of that. Amen. Hey, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. And let's just read it. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding, everybody say beholding, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If I was going to give the title of my message something tonight, it'll be called The Land Between. The Land Between. God's been speaking to me about this whole season that we find ourselves in is this season of transition. Transition, you know, transition happens to all of us. There are many transitions that happen in our lives, you know, going from a single person to a married person. That's quite a big transition. How many agree about that? Yes. You know, there's so many transitions that happen when going from a married couple to having a baby. That's a big transition. We were married for, I think, nearly 7 years before Declan decided to come along. And he just decided. And he was a ball of energy, and that changed our whole world. But that was a massive transition that happened in my life. I had obviously the transition of being one of a drug addict, living in the laundry of a house, having encounter with God, to being fully baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with speaking in tongues and totally born again. That was a major transition happened in my life. Planting a church, that's a big transition. Those of you who are here who have planted a church and we're still planting churches, that's a huge transition. You know, God tends to do his greatest work in us in seasons of transition. And we see that all through Scripture. The biggest transition that took place was the children of Israel transitioning from slavery in Egypt into the Promised Land. That was a massive transition they went through. That was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and God did incredible things in that season of transition before they entered the promised land. And I really feel that this is a word for us right now, that there are people here personally going through transition. There are people in here in their, maybe in their jobs, in their relationships, in their careers, in their ministry, going through transition. Churches, hello, go through transition periods. So important that we know what to do and we know how to navigate those transition seasons. Really, really important. And it happens to all of us. You know, like I said, we're all in some sort of area of transition in our lives. Career change, houses, seasons in nature, getting married, a new year, a new school, new ministry, restructuring, relationships. There's always movement that happens in our lives. There's always seasons of, okay, we're here, we need to get to here. And it's what happens in that middle stage that's really important. What happens and what do we do in that middle stage, that season of the land between? The land between. It's like, come here, I know God's spoken to me about there, and I'm going to be there, and I'm believing for that. And God, you know, that's my career, that's my job, that's my future, that's my ministry, I'm believing for that. And yep, but I'm in this period right here. Okay, what do I do? What do I do? How do I navigate that season? Let me tell you that in every transition, there's an invitation for transformation. There's an invitation for God to transform us, to transform our lives. Why? Because it's necessary. In order to get from here to there, we need to change. We need to transform. Because how many know, when you travel from here to there, you take yourself. You take all your stuff. You bring it all with you, or you get transformed on the way. You know, this season of transformation, I like to call it transformation because God takes us from strength to strength, from glory to glory. He's always spiritually growing us in those seasons of transition in our lives. And it's in those seasons of transition that the most amount of work happens in our lives. It's exciting. So get excited about transition, guys. Get excited about the land between. It's an exciting place of miracles, of supernatural change. Amen? Brett says amen. Yes. Hey, it is a season of inviting God to transform us. You know, being comfortable is also a tendency to become set in your ways, apathetic or sleepy. But these things don't belong to the people of God. Amen? Yeah. We're not called to be comfortable and, hey, we've arrived. Let's just settle in and sit down and, hey, we've come to that place of this is where God wants me. I'm so comfortable in that. You know, whenever you have that, God shifts you. God changes you. God invites you on a journey of transformation. And it's time to let go of the past and embrace the future. That's a word for someone. It's time to let go of the past and embrace the future. There is major upgrades that happen in seasons of transition. Major upgrades that happen. There's so much to learn from Scripture and the story of the Israelites, which is amazing, has amazing parallels for us, not only in our current journey as a church, but also for all of us spiritually. God spoke to Abraham and he said, get up, get out of your land and leave your country and go to a land that I have for you. He went through this journey of transition to a land that I will show you. You know, when we first planted our church, our first church, we had a prophetic word about enjoying the journey. Hey, enjoy the journey. Don't get so serious about, you know, planning the church and all that had to be done, but enjoy the journey. How many know it's important to enjoy the journey? Let's have fun in this transition. Let's enjoy. God has not given us a spirit of sour. He wants us to have joy in the journey, to enjoy the process. Enjoy it. Don't lose your joy. That's a key. If you've lost the joy, you've lost your way a little bit. Don't lose your joy. Abraham, he was looking for a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. You know, God promised this promised land to Abraham, not only to him, but his descendants, 400 years later. Abraham didn't see it, but he believed it. Isaac didn't see it, but God promised it. Jacob didn't see it, but he believed it. The Israelites didn't see it and were in slavery in Egypt, but then God raised up Moses to lead them in that season of transition. And then Joshua, and we all know the story. So much happened in that land between. How many here feel like you're in a bit of a land between season? Come on, be honest. In some area of your life, you're in a little bit of a land. Come on, this is participation, be honest. In some area of your life, you feel like, okay, I'm in this season of the land between. You know, in that land between for the Israelites, God met them. The encounter on Mount Sinai with God himself. Moses had a revelation of God's nature, an amazing revelation of God's nature. He had a revelation of the presence of God in that land between. God made a covenant with his people in that land between. He supernaturally fed them. He led them. He provided for them. We all know the story, cloud by day, fire by night. He transformed them from the old way into the new way so that they can handle the new promises, so that they could handle the promised land. Amen? Amen. So how does God transform us? I'm glad you asked. By his Spirit. He transforms us by his Spirit. We just read it here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As we behold him, we're being transformed. As we look to him, as we gaze at him, we're being transformed. I can see joy breaking out around here. You know, the Israelites were on constant journey. They were on constant journey. They were on a journey navigating from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. Even when they got there, there was work to do. There was land to lay a hold of. There were promises to obtain. The enemy had to be driven out. It's the same in our spiritual lives. There are lands to be conquered. There's lots of work to do. There's lots of change to happen. There's lots of transformation to happen. We're still becoming disciples. Amen? We're learning, we're growing, we're maturing in our faith and in our practice. And how many people know that there are some complexities in transition? There is some confusion in transition. There are some things that we don't quite see clearly in transition, but that's where God does the most amount of work. God is still working in your transition. You know, sometimes we can think of that as with salvation. We think salvation is a once-off event. We think that salvation, we put our hands up, we're born again, filled with the Spirit, we're done. Salvation is a process, is a journey as well. He's continually saving us and forming us and making us and discipling us. Amen? Amen. Salvation, that is just the starting point. But you know, there's a kingdom to explore and to find out and to discover. There are lands within us that need conquering and renewing. Our thought lives, our emotions, our tendencies, our affections, our unhealthy attachments. This is all what happens in that land between. God starts dealing with us. Who enjoys that process? There's also people to reach. There's people, more people to be reached and discipled and healed and set free. This is that land between season. So I want to talk to you and just give you a couple of keys that I've found have been really helpful in seasons of transition in my life. I've been through many seasons of the land between transitions where I'm like, God, what do I do in this season? There's confusion. There's the unknowing. It's like, how do I navigate this? I can't see it. I don't know what to do. So I want to give you some keys. Is that okay? Yeah. Number one, stay close to God. That's a good idea, isn't it? Stay close. Listen to this, James 4 verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. As we draw near to him, stay close to Jesus. You know, God often speaks in silence, in the stillness, in the quiet, in solitude. We want clarity. God wants closeness. We want direction, but God just wants our affection. The key is, and we read it here, beholding him, looking unto Jesus, keeping the first things first, making sure the top button is done up on our shirt right. Because if that top button's done up right, guess what? The whole shirt's out of whack. Make sure you get the top button done up right. The first things first. Seek first his kingdom. Don't get swept up in all of the other stuff. You know, in our marriage, Ellie's like, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, she's gone. She's had enough. You know, in our marriage, we always know how close we are to God. If you're married here, you can always sort of tell how your partner is going spiritually. And we keep each other accountable. How's your devotional life going? If you spent some time in God, I can always tell. Well, she can always tell about me. So stay close to God. Number two, trust the mystery. You know, the Christian walk, the Christian life is about mystery. It really is about embracing mystery. We don't see it all. We only see in part. God's ways are higher than our ways. He is God. We are not God. So we can trust in him. We can trust in him. Proverbs chapter 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. When you trust, you give up your right to understand. Did you hear that? So it's like, I don't understand. Good, just trust. Just trust God. In that season of the land between, Lord, I'm just going to trust the mystery. I know that you're working. I know that you're doing something. I know that you're the great shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. You're my shepherd. You're the shepherd of my soul. You're the one leading me and guiding me and shepherding me. Yeah. You know, fear is actually about wanting control. It's like, oh, I need control. I need to know all the answers. I need to understand what's happening here. But a lot of the times you don't. You just get to trust God, surrender to God, and allow him to work in you. Amen? Number three, follow the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You know, we pride ourselves as we're Pentecostals and we're Spirit-filled and we can speak in tongues and we know the Holy Spirit. Well, then keep in step with the Spirit. Well, then what is the Spirit saying to you right now? What's he speaking to you in your life right now? Keep in step with the Spirit. I love that expression. Follow the breadcrumbs of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what are you doing, Lord? What are the coincidences? What are the dreams he's speaking to me about? You know, this God loves to take us on a journey. He loves this journey of exploration and discovery. It's always an adventure while following Jesus, isn't it? It's such an adventure. It's like, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? You know, have that attitude of, like a child full of wonder. I wonder what God's doing. Wonder what he's speaking to me about. Wonder what he's up to right now. You know, I've still got that attitude of, God, I wonder what you're doing. You know, I was talking to someone this week about how to hear the voice of God. And they were saying, you know, I've never heard the audible voice of God, or I used to hear the voice of God, but I don't hear the voice of God anymore. You know what? Maybe God's talking in a different way. Maybe he's choosing to talk in a different way now. You know, maybe you thought, okay, he talks through the word, I've got to read the word. Maybe he wants to talk through a coincidence or dreams or through other people or numbers or impressions or trusted friends. Amen? Trust the mystery. Follow the Spirit. Don't follow your ego. Don't follow your emotions or your fears. Follow the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't get angry. So don't follow your anger or your frustrations. That's not the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. How do you tell? Is this leading me closer to Jesus and loving people? Or is this leading me away from Jesus and getting annoyed with people? Well, maybe that's not the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 15, verse 28 says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." You know, it's by the Holy Spirit and it's through the people around you that you confirm what God has been saying. Follow the Spirit of God. Follow the Spirit of God. Number four, what to do in seasons of transition when you haven't yet arrived, you're in this land between. Number four, you believe the best. God's got good things for you. Come on, I'm here to tell you tonight, God has got good things for each one of us. He's got good things for this church, amen. He's got a great future, a great expectation for your life, for your family, for your ministry, for this church, for this house. He's got good things. Believe the best. And I heard that Pastor Ali spoke an amazing word this morning about seeing the best in others. Choosing to see the gold in others. You know, God has called us to be people of faith that believe that He is actually good. He's actually good. He's actually got good things in store for you. Man, so why do we worry? Honestly, why do we actually worry when He's actually sees the end from the beginning and He's such a good Father and He knows exactly what He's doing? Why don't we just believe the best? That's what faith is believing that God is good and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. So whatever transition you're going through, believe the best. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Don't be selfish in these seasons of transition and think, oh, it's all about me. It's all about me, myself, and I. It's actually not about you. It's about others. It's about the kingdom. It's about Jesus. Let's believe the best. Amen. Number five, be patient. Oh, this is a good one for me. Be patient. Who is just really a little bit frustrated and annoyed that they're not over here yet? Just me? Okay. Listen to this. Psalm 32 verse 8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or the mule without an understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle." You know, the horse just wants to run ahead. It's just all go, 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 go. It's always in a rush. The mule or the donkey doesn't want to do anything. It just sits down and says, "Hey, someone else do it." It's just stubborn. And God's saying here, hey, don't be like the horse and don't be like the donkey, but follow the Spirit. You know, the Father's not in a rush. How many know that? God is not in a rush. You're not going to miss it. You just need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. He's such a good God. He's such a good Father. Amen? So we don't need to complain or grumble or look back or pine for the good old days or have a critical spirit. We don't complain, we just remain. Just remain in Him. Amen. We don't grumble, we just stay humble. Man, this is good preaching, I'm telling you. Don't complain, just remain. Don't grumble, just stay humble. You know, some people might say, oh, it's happening too quickly or it's happening too slow. But you know what? God is not late. He's not slack. He is perfectly in time. His timing is absolutely perfect for you and me. His timing is perfect for us. Amen. Come on, His timing is perfect. So we can trust Him. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's working behind the scenes. We sing that song, "Waymaker, you're working." He's doing it. We just get to surrender and worship Him and keep in step with Him. Do what we need to do and take our responsibility, and the rest is up to Him. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 9 says, "In their hearts, man plans their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." You know, we can have all the grand plans and the grand ideas and we think it's going to be like this, but ultimately it's God. It's all good and it's all God. David prayed this in Psalm 31, verse 15. He said, my times are in your hands. How many know that's a great scripture for us, or those of you who are going through seasons of transition or change? Hey, my times are in God's hands. My time is in God's hands. Amen. And the last point is transformation is happening. Hey, let's look at this scripture. This is amazing. Hey, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Then he goes on and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, or renewing, or reformation of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it says here, don't be conformed. That word conformed means squeezed into its mold. You know, and that word also means, it means a period of time. It means don't think of temporal. Hang on, God's doing something eternal in me that's going to outlast and outlive everything around us. So that word, don't be conformed, don't be squeezed into thinking the way the world thinks. Come on, but be transformed. How do we get transformed? By renewing our mind, by reforming our thoughts, reforming our mind. You know, our responsibility is renewing our mind. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is getting this word in us, getting God's thoughts a part of our thoughts. So having a thought, you know, we can't afford to have any thoughts that are not of God in our minds. All of our thoughts must be permeated by the life of God and by the word of God. That's how we renew our minds. That's how we reform our thinking. And then God's job, this is awesome, and then God's job is the transformation. You know, in every season of transition, there's an invitation for transformation. And God wants to transform you in that season of transition. You know, transformation is supernatural. This is exciting because you know what? Only God can transform our hearts and transform our lives. It's Him alone that does it. Our responsibility is to renew our mind, renew our thinking, but transformation is supernatural. It's a work of the Spirit of God. It's that word there is metamorphosis. How many people have heard that word metamorphosis, which is that whole season of, you know, the caterpillar going to the cocoon and the butterfly? You know, we love the caterpillar part, we love the butterfly part, but that middle section is the cocoon, is where the caterpillar all turns into goo. How many people have had times in your life that you feel like your whole life's just turned to goo? Good. That's metamorphosis. God is doing something in you. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Our role is to repent, to renew our thinking, to renew our minds. His role is transformational in us. That's so cool. So cool. So don't conform to this world. Reform your mind and your thoughts. Then watch the power of God transform you. Because in every season, before we enter into this next season, the promised land, God wants to transform you and me. He wants to change us. And we need to be changed. We can't take our old selves into this new season. We must let go of the old. We must invite God to transform us and change us. And I've seen this so many times in my life, in every significant season of transition that has happened in my life, there's been an invitation for transformation. And God has changed me. He's transformed me. He's molded me. He's made me. And sometimes those seasons are long because I've got a lot to learn. Other times those seasons are short because He's done an incredible work in me. But God wants to transform you. Turn to the person next to you and point to them and say, hey, God wants to transform you. Say, yes, yes, God wants to transform you. You know, when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, there is darkness. There is uncertainty. there's pain, but something supernatural is taking place. Come on, in this season of transformation, something supernatural is taking place. Something incredibly powerful is taking place in your heart, in your life, and it's a work of the Spirit of God. It's supernatural. You know, so many things happened in the children of Israel, in the Israelites, as they were going through the wilderness. So many supernatural things. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They had encounters with the living God. They had manna that literally came from heaven. They had a cloud by day and a fire by night. Supernatural things happen in the place of the land between. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm believing for transformation in this season. I'm calling this season a transformation season. Come on, I'm not calling it a transition. I'm calling it a transformation season. And that's the invitation for each one of us. And this transition, I'm telling you, this transition season, this transformation, it happens as we gaze upon the Lord, as we look to the Lord. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to create an atmosphere here where we just behold Him. And as we behold Him, we read it, my first scripture tonight, transformation happens. We are changed. We are transformed from one image to another image. And that's the invitation that God has for us. Amen. You know, transformation happens when you encounter God. You cannot be the same. You cannot be the same when you encounter God. So what's important in this season of the land between? Staying close to Jesus. Trusting the mystery. I don't get it, don't understand it, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to follow the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. I'm going to believe for the best because eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And God's banner over us is love. Come on. But it's by the Spirit. Be patient because transformation is happening. Hey, that's all I wanted to share. Let's get the worship team up here tonight. And we're going to do it right now. Come on, stand to your feet. What is God saying to you? I want every eye closed in this place right now. And I want you to think about your life. What are some areas in your life that you feel like you're in the land between? You're in this season of transition. You're not quite there yet, but God's up to something. He's doing something in you. What is God saying to you right now? Is He asking you to let go of your understanding? Is He asking you to trust? Is He asking you to spend time in His presence? What are some things that you need to let go of? Some offense, some unforgiveness, some anxiety. Is He asking you to let go of control? Come on, let go of control. You're going to have to learn to trust Me. Let go of fear, uncertainty. Sure, God, I'm not sure. Maybe you're impatient. Maybe you're like, oh God, I just want it to happen right now. What is God asking you to embrace right now? Mystery. Wonder. He's asking you to get closer, to seek His face. Maybe He's asking you to be still. I am God. Maybe He's asking you to lean in for His whisper. What is God saying to you right now? So many of us want a word from the Lord about direction, but God is wanting our heart of intimacy. He's looking for a people whose heart is fixed in Him in the middle of the mystery. His timing is perfect. Maybe He's whispering over you, you're My beloved. My banner over you is love. Just be patient. Don't complain, just remain. Don't grumble. Just stay humble.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.